friend or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man.
His love
is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me.
His love
is an endless love that will last throughout eternity.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night.
His love
is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. And it reaches down and touches me.
His love
is an endless love that will last throughout eternity. That will last throughout eternity.
Well, hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Spirit of Truth broadcast. I'm Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, coming to you from the Morning Star Baptist Church over in Pacolet, South Carolina. What a joy it is to be able to come to you with this broadcast at this same time on this same station every week. And my, what a blessing it is to sit down at this old microphone and look out there by faith and see that audience out there. If you're lost without Christ today, I want you to know that it's our desire and prayer that the Lord convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, and you'll be willing to get on your knees, turn from your sin, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Friend, it's so wonderful that God loves sinners. I'm glad the Bible tells us in John 1 and 12, but unto as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. I'm glad the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad Paul told us in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And neighbor, if these verses tell us anything, it tells us that God loves sinners and that Christ died for sinners, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's the good news that I bring to you that are lost today, is that you don't have to remain that way. You don't have to go to that place called hell. I'm glad God has made a way whereby you can be saved, and that way is through the door, and Jesus is the door. And so I believe the Holy Ghost would invite you to come today and call upon his name. And then for you that are saved by God's grace, I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient to keep us. I'm glad we're not kept by being a Sunday school teacher, a deacon in the church, or a youth leader, or a pastor, or a choir leader, or a singer. I'm glad the Bible tells us that we are kept by the power of God. Aren't you grateful today, neighbor, for that wonderful, wonder-working power of God? Aren't you glad that he not only provides for us, he protects us, and then he gives us power to live for him, that he may preserve us until that day of Jesus Christ? Well, I find myself preaching even when I don't intend to preach, but that's what God called me to do. He called me to preach, and God put preach in my heart, and God put preach in my soul, and so if I find myself preaching, just so be it. But I want to say to you, neighbor, that it is good to be able to come to you by way of radio. I do trust the singing by our trio is a blessing to you. And I want to just share this with you. If you're in the upstate of South Carolina and you would like to have them in a singing or at a homecoming, just as long as it's not during church time, these folks have a conviction in their heart of which I'm thrilled about. They don't leave their church when they're having church at their church and go somewhere else. But anytime that we're not having church, if you could use this group to sing, they'd be glad to come. I will give you a number that you can call. You can call area code 864-474-2904, and you'll speak with Miss Myra Smith, and she'll be able to take care of that. If you would like to order the CDs, they have two CDs, and they'd like to get these out to you, and any profits that are made on these CDs goes into our missions program. They don't make any profit or keep the profits. Anything that they get for their CDs, it goes into the missions program to help spread the gospel around the world. Fact is, some of those monies are helping to support this broadcast that you're listening to, along with 46 other missionaries around the world. And so we praise the Lord for His wonderful goodness about that. We would love to hear from you. If you would write to us, you can write to Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Pacolet, South Carolina, 29372. Or you could email us at my personal email. It's andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net. That's Andrew Kerrigan. Those are all small characters. That's spelled C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N at bellsouth.net. Andrew Kerrigan at bellsouth.net. Would be delighted to hear from you. Also, you that believe in prayer, we would ask that you pray for us. The Lord would use us to His honor, to His praise, and His glory. And so we're thrilled about these days that we can serve Him. I want you to listen to the trio. They're coming back to sing another song for us. Right now, I think this song is entitled, When Jesus Passed By. Neighbor, I'm so thrilled today that one day Jesus Christ passed by. And what a blessing it is to know, friend, that we're saved by God's marvelous grace. And enjoy the trio as they sing this old song, When Jesus Passed By.
A cripple starts walking.
Trouble and strife.
reach out and touch him, and he'll hear your cry. You'll know something's happened when Jesus passed by.
Well, neighbor, don't you bless the day when Jesus passed by? Thank God. I'm glad that I remember that day when, as a sinner, Jesus came by my way, and I'm so thrilled that he did. And neighbor, that's been almost 47 years ago, and I'm still rejoicing in that fact today that Jesus passed by. Well, in our Bibles today, I want you to turn with me again to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking in these days at this theme of pleasing God. Remember, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so as we look into the Word of God today, our desire and our theme is that we may please the Lord. Now, I don't know about you out there, neighbor, that's listening today, but I want to say to you that it's in my heart as a child of God to want to please him. I know that one day I'll stand in his presence in heaven at the Bema seat of Christ and give an account of the things that I've done in this body, the Bible says, whether they be good or bad. Now, I don't know about you, neighbor, but that sort of terrifies me to think about going to have to stand in God's presence, and God's going to bring out the books, and God is going to call me into account as a Christian for the way I've lived for him or not lived for him. And so I want to say to you, I want to please him. There's something that I'm desirous of, that I'm pressing toward, and that is when I get to that place that I'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so as we look into the scriptures today, there's two things that's upon my heart today. If you're lost, it's my desire that you're saved by God's marvelous grace. And if you're saved, it's my desire that you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you may be fit for the battle that we're engaged in from day to day. I want to read verses 1 through 7 from Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so, beloved, today I want to speak to us about the work of faith. You remember in our first studies we considered Abel, who had faith to approach God. We see that is the worship of faith. And then we looked at Enoch, who had faith to walk with God. That is the walk of faith. And now in our message today, I want us to think about Noah and see him as an illustration of the work of faith. For as believers, It's not only our privilege to come into fellowship with God and to walk with Him in fellowship, but it's also our privilege to be co-workers and co-laborers with Him in the work of the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that God not only saved me by His grace, but I'm glad that God keeps me by His grace. And God, through His marvelous grace, has a work for us to do. Now, beloved, in all three of these instances, the Bible says it is by faith that these men pleased God. It was by faith that Abel brought his blood sacrifice unto the Lord. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God for 300 years and was not, for God took him. And now by faith, Noah is moved by fear to prepare an ark. God put it in Noah's heart, and Noah is now going to become a co-laborer with God, and he's going to do a work for God. I want to say to your neighbor out there, you that are saved, there's no greater joy than being employed by the Lord. There's no greater joy in life than doing something for the kingdom of God. Why, the psalmist David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I don't understand people that are saved murmuring and complaining about serving God in His house. Why, my dear friend, it's a privilege just to come in, pick up a piece of paper off the floor in the house of God. What a joy it is just to come in and turn the lights on. We've got a man in our church. He keeps our church cleaned, and he counts it as a ministry, and he praises God just for the joy of being able to come to the house. Fact is, he was here in this building this morning when I came in to make this radio broadcast here early on a Monday morning, a beloved cleaning the house of God, having the joy of the Lord in his heart. My friend, wherever God will let you get in on his service, let us give him praise and honor and glory. I say the greatest glory, the greatest honor that you and I have is the honor of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to think about over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 1, we then as workers together with him. My, what a joy it is, friend, just to be employed and working with him. Not just following along after God, but being up by his side as Enoch was, just walking with God day by day. Like Noah in our scriptures today, out there working on that old ark, just being out there with God. What a joy it is, friend, to know that as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. I say to your neighbor, what a joy and a privilege it is just to be working for God in the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I've said to our church on various occasions, there are no part-time Christians. Every one of us that Christ has said come to, he's turned right around once we've been saved by the grace of God, and he says go. Have you thought about what a joy it is to partner with God in prayer? I mean, just to be able to go on your knees before God and pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children, pray for your community, pray for your pastor, pray for your church. I mean, what a joy it is just to get on our knees before God, to be able to come into his presence. Why, neighbor, he has told us to come boldly into his presence that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What a blessing and what a joy it is to know that God created us to serve him. Oh, beloved, what a joy it is to be partners with him in the church. Oh, beloved, to just serve God wherever we can. What a joy it is to partner with God in missions, to know that we can come to church, we can write out our missions check and put it in the offering plate, and God's going to use that to touch missionaries' hearts around the world. I want to tell you, my dear friend, the business of the church is to be engaged in preaching the gospel around the world. Yes, we're to go to our Jerusalem, we're to go to our Samaria, but we're also to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What a blessing and what a joy it is to be engaged in the work work of the Lord. Oh, beloved, in 2006, we had our annual missions conference, and in that missions conference, God moved in our heart to build a church in India. There was a couple of men here in our missions conference, and God spoke to our heart about building a church in India. And beloved, we obeyed God in that. And there was a man in our church just yesterday that told us about two other churches that have been built there because of that, and about a soul-winning campaign that they went on back in November of 2007, and over 7,000 souls were saved. Oh, my dear friend, to partner with God in missions and to be a part of that, what a joy and what a thrill it is to our hearts. And so out there in Radio Land today, I want to challenge you not only to worship God, I want to challenge you to not only walk with God, but I want to challenge you to get in business with God and go with God. However you can serve Him according to His plan and according to His pleasure. Get involved in working for God in these days. It'll bring joy to your heart. It'll bring satisfaction to your soul. It'll be pleasing to God. It'll help your church. It'll help your community. It'll help our nation to get involved in the things of God. James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone." It's not enough, neighbor, just to say, "I want to serve God." It's not enough to say, "I love God." Beloved, let's put some shoes. Let's put some legs on our prayers. Let's put some feet on our prayers. Let's put some doing into our faith and let our faith go to work for God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But I'm glad, praise God, by faith, we can worship, we can walk, and we can work for God. And so, beloved, let us continue as we go along and serve Him. We discover that wherever there is true inward faith in God, there's always a definite outward evidence of that faith. I believe that belief affects behavior. Faith shows itself in works. It is vain to say that we have faith in God if there are no works in our lives resulting from and giving evidence to that faith. Beloved, Noah had faith in God, faith which made him well pleasing to the Lord, and which was evidenced in the amazing work of building the ark and proclaiming God's word and obeying the Lord. My friend, I'm glad that Noah's faith worked for God, and your faith needs to be working for God. You say, "But oh, preacher, we're living in terrible days." Yes, we are. But I want to say to you and draw some parallels today. I want to say to you that Noah lived in a day of grace, and so do we. Neighbor, I can't hardly sit in my seat this morning when I think about the amazing grace of God. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, every one of you that are listening to this broadcast today, every one of you that are saved by the grace of God, I believe there's something gets up in you. I believe that fountain of living water began springing up in you. I believe the joy bells began ringing in your soul when you think about the amazing grace of God that saved a wretch like me. You see, neighbor, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, and now I see. I want to tell you, neighbor, I'm glad that I still live in the wonderful day of grace. Yes, Noah lived in the day of grace, and so do we. And I'm glad today that we can still say to those that are lost without Christ that thank God the door of God's grace is still open. For these 2,000 years, the door of grace has been open. And the Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come." I'm glad the Bible tells us, beloved, that if we'll just believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I remember Paul and Silas telling that old jailer, "If you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house." Oh, neighbor, I'm glad that we're still living in this marvelous day of grace. And so we bless God for that today. And so in the case of Noah, the door of salvation was open for 120 years. The Bible tells us over in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Neighbor, listen today. I'm glad that just as God was long-suffering in Noah's day, I'm here to tell you that God's long-suffering in our day. Were it not for the long-suffering of God, neighbor, I would be in hell today. Were it not for the long-suffering of God, you wouldn't be hearing this radio broadcast today. Were it not for the long suffering of God, my friend, many of you out there listening to my voice today would already be in the charred walls of hell. But aren't you glad for the marvelous grace of God? Aren't you glad for the long suffering of God? Aren't you glad that God is long suffering? God's not willing that any should perish. I think about that old drunk lying out there in his vomit this morning. Oh, my friend, it's because of the grace of God that he's not in hell today. I think about that harlot that's out on the streets yesterday and will be back out there today. It's only by the grace of God and the long suffering of God that they're still alive today. I want to tell you, my dear friend, I'm thrilled today to be able to say to you that the grace of God is still available to you today. If you'll turn from your sin, turn to the Savior and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, He'll do so today. If you're out there in radio land today and you're saved and discouraged, I want to tell you that grace of God that's brought you this far. Could I just take a word and encourage you just a moment, sir? Ma'am, could I just give you a word of encouragement today? God didn't bring you to where you are today to abandon you and leave you down in that valley of despair. He didn't bring you to that place where you are today and leave you in that valley of discouragement. Oh no, my dear friend, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. Why, it's been the grace of God that's brought us safe thus far, and I believe God's grace will lead us on. Yes, my dear friend, I'm glad that Noah lived in that day of grace when for 120 years Noah preached the grace of God. Noah, as he worked on that old ark, and neighbor, while we're working for God, we ought to be having joy in our heart and telling men everywhere we go that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Invite them to your church. They'll come to church, hear the gospel, and hearing the gospel will bring conviction to their soul. Oh, my dear friend, bring your friends to church. Bring your friends to Christ. Bring your friends to this door of grace, and it may just be that they may walk through that door and be saved just like you and I were one day. So I want to say to you, my dear friend, we live in that day of grace when God's offer of salvation is still being made to men and women. I think about the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, how is the now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Neighbor, there's still time to be saved. And for you that are saved, there's still time to work. Why don't you call upon the name of the Lord today? Get on your knees before God. I'm glad that our God is a merciful God. You'll find the grace of God will work in your heart. It'll work in your life. Oh, thank God for that grace. Oh, friend, thank God for that marvelous grace. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, beloved, as we close the broadcast today, I trust the message has been a blessing to you. I trust the songs have been a blessing to you. We want to close out today listening to the trio as they sing this old song. I believe it's "I'm Glad God Saves Old Sinners." What a blessing, what a joy. God bless you, neighbor. Until next time.
Rich in their palaces, poor and unlearned, men of degrees, they all have a soul of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary.
I am so glad.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews 3:7, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Neighbor, today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't turn him away.
So bad that I needed forgiveness.